This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
The one thing I did want to address very briefly is what we intend on doing at this point regarding the convictions and the sentencing. So in New York State, subsequent to any conviction, or either by trial or by plea, and after that individual's been sentenced, the defense can, and in this case we will, file what's referred to as a notice of appeal. The notice of appeal has to be filed within 30 days of the date of sentencing. We intend on filing that probably today because we're all set to go. It's a very brief document, only a couple pages long. And that's filed with the New York State Appellate Division, 4th Department, which is based in Rochester, New York. So that'll be taken care of. And then what we'll do is pursue that particular appeal and address a number of different issues, which we believe the defense are certainly arguable or should be looked at by the appellate division. And just to refresh your memory on appeals, there's no new evidence, there's no new arguments made on trial, any trial arguments made, but what you have the opportunity to do is get a complete transcript of everything that was said in that courtroom from beginning to end today. And you get the transcript and you file it with the appellate division along with your brief or your argument, arguing why either something went wrong during trial or a decision was made by the court that we believe was wrong or something the district attorney did that was wrong. In any regard, we're going to pursue that vigorously and make sure that that gets filed. In regard to the federal charges, I represent Mr. Matar federally in the Western District of New York. Actually, that particular case is we're filing some pretrial motions within the next week to 2 weeks, requesting certain suppression hearings, addressing a number of different issues. And the volume of discovery is massive in that because, of course, it involves not only activity here in this particular country, but also involves the interviewing of witnesses and certain information that may or may not have occurred outside the country. So there's a number of different federal agencies, local agencies, and so it's a very complex situation. And the nature of the charges, of course, is very different than what was filed here in this county. So There's still a number of things that are pending and still going on. And that's one of the tight ropes you have to walk as defense counsel, is what occurs between those two cases. And you just have to be very conscious of you know, of the difficulties we still have ahead of us. But at this point, we didn't, quite frankly, I mean, you always hope. I tell every client, you can't ever give up hope, no matter what it is. If you don't have hope, you don't have anything. And so certainly that's something that I honestly believed in when we took this case. And when I addressed the court today, what I discussed with the court was from the heart. And quite frankly, we had an uphill battle from the very beginning. You know, don't make any mistake about that. You look for a level playing field. That's all you can ask for. But unfortunately, it doesn't happen. And if anyone thinks that it does, I disagree. It doesn't. I mean, there are a number of different things. When you look back at jury selection, I don't even think there was a Muslim in the jury pool. Are you kidding me? I mean, who could have? It's just, it goes, I'm not going to get into that, but the point is that it's a very difficult process trying these cases in certain counties throughout, you know, in more remote areas. So,
Mr. Barone, wasn't it most difficult because your client stabbed someone in front of 1,400 people?
Well, yeah, I'm not arguing against that, but there's still the presumption of innocence. So if you take your argument, why even try the case, right?
I'm just saying the most difficult hurdle, wouldn't it not be?
Oh, of course it is. Of course it is. We discussed that from the very beginning. We discussed it from the very beginning. But then when you add to that mixture, the federal charges, then there's other issues that have to be considered.
You brought up in court today assaults against your client.
Yes.
Is part of that due to the notoriety that he's now gained?
You know, I really don't know. It's something we saw in the PSI. We're investigating it. At least initially, we've learned that, and again, I can't say this for sure, but initially we don't believe so, but that's something that we're taking a look at.
Were you listening when the DA was saying he kind of thought they didn't bring up, you had made motions not to bring in motivational evidence, and then they didn't, and you kind of threw that back in his face today?
Well, the reason why it was raised today was really based on what Mr. Schmidt had argued when he gave his statement to the court and made reference about certain things he was asking the court to take into consideration when considering what an appropriate sentence would be. And that's when he talked about, you know, the reasons why he came here. And, you know, some of that, the things that may or may not have occurred prior to him showing up at Chautauqua. So that's really the reason why I threw that back in his face today, because if you think back to the time of the trial, there was no testimony or evidence submitted as to motive. And even preparation, quite frankly, you know, and I like anything else, you can't get around the fact that obviously he was living in New Jersey and they had admitted certain things regarding his driver's license and other information. But yes, yeah, so, you know, I just didn't want the court making some beings using the court's speculation as to why he showed up here or what his reasons were for what he did.
You seemed most impassioned when they tried to suggest that there weren't just two victims, there were 1,400 who were traumatized, and your point being whether that's true or not, you never had any evidence of that.
No, I mean there was absolutely nothing. And then to raise that, on the day of sentencing, I think is inappropriate. It's improper, and quite frankly, there's nothing to base that on. I mean, that's pure speculation. There was no reference to any of those particular victims, no evidence or even reference to the district attorney's office interviewing those people, talking to them, medical records, psychiatric records, emotional records, any of that. So where's the trauma? You know, that's at least in my opinion, way out of line. So.
Yeah, just back to a couple of basic things. How surprised were you by the sentence, your reaction to that? And given the federal charge, does this really provide a sense of closure for you in your office, or you just move on to the next phase?
I just move on to the next phase. But I will tell you, I don't know. This is kind of a tough answer. You take a lot of cases, and you know from the beginning, you've got your work cut out for you. And you know that probably things are going to be very difficult. But it shouldn't deter any criminal defense attorney from taking a case. How you handle the case, it could be something entirely different. But when we got the sentence today, I was hoping for the best, expecting the worst. And does the 25 years surprise me? No, unfortunately. But I think, and this goes back to what I argued today, was that from the very beginning, I think that, society in a lot of ways determined, outside of that criminal justice system, it was the public and society that determined what was going to happen. And unfortunately, you can try to insulate yourself as much as you want, whether you're the court or the district attorney, but you're in elected positions. You're under a microscope. And a lot of times you end up doing what you think they want to hear. And, and that's, I think, every case is different. And I'm not going to pretend to know to know what justice is on a case, but a lot of times you can feel the injustice in a case, and I certainly think that with certain situations, you got to insulate yourself from what the public is expecting or what they think is right or what's wrong. And who's better to judge than the judge himself? He sat through the whole trial. He listened to the testimony. He listened to the evidence or the lack of evidence. He was able to make that determination. He saw our sentencing memorandum and what issues were raised. We had a mitigation expert come in from the state and do that mitigation report. So there was a lot of issues in front of the judge. And most notably, when we're pre-trying this case and the court is discussing the possibility of capping a determinant sentence at perhaps 18 years, well, it may not seem like much, but it's less than the 25 that the court gave today. So obviously, I don't know what he may have heard during trial, but there was no motive evidence during trial. There was nothing new introduced at the time of trial that, in our opinion, would warrant an increase in that sentence.
You think maybe he heard it today from Attar himself, not necessarily an apology, but a justification?
You can tell your clients sometimes everything that you think they should say or shouldn't say, and sometimes they listen to you, sometimes they don't. But I think that, that's something that, I can't comment about that, but that certainly could have been something that the judge took into consideration today.
Did he regret Mr. Matar to speak prior to sentencing today, and why did he decide to speak?
I thought that it's something he felt compelled to do after listening to the court and listening to some of the arguments made by Mr. Schmidt about certain things. So I think that at least what I gathered was that it's something he felt compelled to talk about. And I indicated, and I think it's something that he's got a very strong religious belief, and he adhered to his religious beliefs while he's been incarcerated. He's asked for certain accommodations, and he's received those. So I think that there were certain things that he felt compelled to say.
So it was a game time decision?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so he decided while listening to Mr. Schmidt today.
What did you get? I can't speak to him right now. You're speaking for him, I guess. And what was he getting at there? What do you think he was getting at?
Well, I think that my opinion, personal opinion, is that he was trying to let the court know that, look, it's... this was you know, he felt very strongly about his Muslim religion, number one, that is something that's extremely important to him, and I don't doubt that. But secondly, I think that it's something, you know, he may have taken a look at different authors or different individuals talking about the freedoms of expression or the freedom of religion and what certain groups practice or don't practice, and then getting into the issue about Mr. Rushdie and what he considered his actions being, and that's disrespectful. And I think that he probably spoke, I mean, it's something I think that we saw a little bit of that after the incident. I think that you saw a couple different groups come out of the woodwork a little bit, at least from our end. You saw some Muslim Shiites that would say, look it, what happened is wrong, doesn't matter. Then you saw another faction or group that came out and said, look, you know, Mr. Rushdie was being disrespectful to our religion. And as a result, we understand why this happened.
But does he regret doing this?
Pardon me?
Does your client regret?
Pardon me?
Any remorse?
Well, yeah, I think that's a fair question, and I can't answer that. I personally, I've never had any issues with Mr. Matar from the very beginning. And we've had a great relationship. We've discussed a lot of different things. And I know if he had the opportunity, he would not be sitting where he's sitting today. And if he could change things, he would. So all I can tell you is that I think that, you know, unfortunately, people make bad decisions. And it's something that certainly they regret or they're remorseful about, but they may have a difficult time expressing that for whatever reasons, you know, and I can't tell you why or why not, but I can't tell you that. I wish I could.
Yeah, do you have a timeline for the federal charges?
Yeah, I just got a scheduling order, I think we have to have everything filed in a couple weeks, and the U.S. attorney has approximately 30 days to respond, which brings us into January. I think we have a court appearance sometime in July to talk about the hearings that will be necessary and going from there.
When do you picture going to trial?
You'd probably... be looking at sometime next year, maybe the end of this year, maybe, but we'll see.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.